Game week 14 isn't quite done, but it's already on to the next one. We reflect on the pain of Chelsea rotation, a City return to form, and call out Sam's irrational fear of kickoff times as we discuss captains. Well, Game Week 14 is not quite over, but FPL Pod is back with you because we need to get to you as early as possible because there isn't much time between Game Week 14 and Game Week 15. Kelly Summers back with you on Thursday morning. Still got two fixtures to play. Fulham hosting Brighton and Bournemouth facing Spurs. Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron back with me. I normally at this point do a little check-in on how your game week's been going. Obviously, it's not complete, but I think both of you, particularly you, Sam, must be pretty happy.
Yeah, the game week so far has been good. I mean, I must be honest, Kels, I was a little bit worried about midweek games. They always stress me out a bit because I never feel like I've got enough time to think about them. And I always worry that they're not going to quite be the high-flying game weeks, I guess. Like, they always seem to be a bit more low-scoring. And, yeah, there was a lot of rotation, wasn't there, on Wednesday evening?
This is why I don't like them. I've had so many bad midweek scores because there's rotation, because if players... I said it with Isak, which actually worked out okay in the end. When players getting injury on the weekend before, the likelihood is maybe their manager won't risk them in the midweek. As I said with the Newcastle forward, it worked out okay, but it doesn't always. We saw it, though, Jules, with one of your forwards as well. Jackson wasn't, of course, playing, and Kunku was playing.
Yeah.
But overall, how did your team do? Well, so far, obviously with the caveat, you've got players to play.
So before Sam gives a score, I had 67 points.
You didn't give your score. That was bad. I jumped in.
Which is really good. And I still have Robinson, Evanilson and Brennan Johnson. So all the sons, basically, of people playing tonight, which is good. I made, as you know, four changes. For the four transfers that I had, I used them all. I sold Erling Haaland, obviously, after listening to you two, which I shouldn't have. And I regret it already. I know yesterday,
he looks good.
He only got an assist yesterday. But really, it was horrendous.
Why did you do it? Because I didn't think you would. Sam and I both didn't think you would.
I know. I really regret it still. I promise you now.
Why did you do it then? Just because of us?
So first of all, I thought, you know what? There would be a lot of listeners and people who watch on YouTube as well who be in my position who still have Haaland. So even for them to relate, I almost wanted to keep him and say, this is our little project, me and the 46% of managers who have him. And we've believed in him. We stuck with him. Stuck with him. So let's show him some love. And he's going to eventually, as we all know, he will sooner rather than later, well, at some point, go back to scoring loads of goals and being really good, like City will be too as well. So there was that part. And then the other part was like, but it's true. And you were both right. It makes sense to sell him also because you can make your team overall much better, much stronger with more variety on who can bring points and goals and returns, et cetera, et cetera. So I had both and I kept changing and pressing the reset button. You know, when you do all your transfers resetted. I don't know if reseted is even a word, but I resetted.
Jules, you're English. You're learning all of these new phrases.
But I thought reset was a bit like reset, you know, that you didn't put the ED at the end. And then in the end, I thought there was not much time left before the deadline and I was going Christmas shopping. So I had to do it like quite early-ish. And I did. And I was like, my God, what have I done? I promise you, I was like, that's why on social media, I put you two in the mix because I listened to you and I'm still not sure it's the right thing to do. But anyway.
Okay, I feel like he's vented. He's got it out of his system a bit. Like, all I'm going to say, Jules, is I was presenting the Man City game last night and I'm a bit worried City might be back. Although maybe it's not Erling Haaland that we need. We'll talk about that very shortly. Sam, sorry, after you talking about your woes and your concerns, the end of your answer was, of course, the more positive bit that I imagine you wanted to tell us the points that you did get.
Yeah, actually, it was a good week. Wrong captain, right? I mean, we all had the wrong captain.
Yeah.
I feel like we never get it right at the moment, to be honest.
No, and I'm starting to think we should just perma-captain it on Salah and be done with it. Like, I don't know. He's so good right now. But yeah, actually, the rest of my game week went really well. Obviously, my Arsenal defender, who I was a little bit upset about at the weekend.
Oh,
coming good. Yeah. Coming good. So Timber with the goal, Raya with a clean sheet, 20 points out of them two. I was loving that. Even as a Spurs fan, I was like, oh, thank God there's something positive to come out of Arsenal winning a game. So that was good. So I'm at my highest rank so far now, thanks to my two Arsenal defenders. So that's been really nice. 66, two players to go. So Solanke, who is obviously still a massive doubt for the game this evening because of his virus. If he doesn't play, I'll have Chris Wood off the bench for his 2 points. So that's not ideal, but, you know, It is what it is. Nothing I can do about that now. And João Pedro. So we'll see how we get on with those two tonight. Hopefully Solanke makes it, because it could actually be a really, really good game week if they play.
Okay, so as things stand, Sam's on 66. Of course, she leads the way. I'm third in our mini league. I'm on 60, but I've got 11 points regardless to come off the bench because of Mykolenko coming in. So I'll be up to 71. I've still got Pedro to play, and Jules on 67. As he says, still got two players to play, plus Johnson will also play because Jackson didn't play. So three players still to play. So as you said, could be a good game week for all of us. Let's hope so. Although I hate it when it ends up being a good game week, but we don't have a pod to talk about it because the next pod will be next week and we'll probably all have a bad game week in 15. A reminder, the Pod Mini League code is Q7YC. Did I say that right? Yes, I did. You'd think I'd be able to say this right by now. Q7YCO, the letter zero. I think we've discussed enough about our game week in particular, but just a quick check in with the FPL Pod Mini League. I'm hesitant to do that because, of course, there's still players to play. There's a new leader as things stand. Max Littleground got 73 points so far. Captain Salah, he has had all 12 players play, whereas our new second place manager Charlie Shepherd has 64 this week. And he also, like us, Captain Palmer, but still has João Pedro, and he also got Pedro Porro to play on Thursday. He is just 1 point behind Max. So whilst we're saying Max is top, going to be Charlie, isn't it, after Thursday evening fixtures. Max and Charlie are 36th and 37th in the world respectively. Okay, we talked about our game weeks, we've talked about the mini league, now let's talk about the wider game week. I was certainly relieved about Isak because I didn't expect him to even start, let alone get a goal and an assist. And I think, Jules, we were reminded after I was frustrated with what happened at Palace and him going off so early, I think we were reminded that he is still such a good FPL asset.
Yeah, incredible performance from him, from Newcastle as a team, as a whole, like we saw against City at home or Arsenal at home before, where they drew and they won. And again, they were outstanding. They could have lost the game, obviously, but they could also probably have won that game too. So maybe the draw is a fair result, but for Isak, he was the key in this game. Lovely, lovely goal. I mean, fantastic goal that he scored. But even though everything he did, the pass for Murphy, who hit the post in the first half, his game is just all around so great because he's so good technically and such a great finisher, all of that. And we did say, though, in the last showcase on Monday morning that he looked like he was just a knock up against Palace and that they took him off more by precaution than anything else. And as long as he's not muscular, there was still a big possibility that he would play. But until you see his name on the team sheet, you just never know. But great for him to have that kind of performance, because I think there was two games where he didn't score in a row, but before that he was in great form. So it made sense for him to just keep scoring still.
I know we talk about forwards a lot on this show, Sam, and it's an even more interesting conversation to have on a week where I think Jackson was obviously rotated. Jackson still got that suspension hanging over his head as well. Isak had a price fall earlier in the week, which was so frustrating from my point of view. But where do you rank him in terms of forwards that we should want in our team? Because when I'm looking at the Newcastle fixtures, Brentford away, Leicester at home, Ipswich away, Villa at home, Man United away, those last two a bit trickier, but there's some nice fixtures in there.
Yeah, there definitely is some nice fixtures in there. And I don't think anybody that was selling Isak was really doing it because they wanted to get rid of Isak desperately. I think most people were doing it going into game week 14 because they were worried about him having gone off in game week 13. And we do worry about rotation in midweek fixtures because they do tend to be the ones that you see it most. Mm. And I think that also people were looking at that Chelsea fixture and thinking, well, Jackson looks like the perfect buy this week because it's a lovely fixture where Chelsea should score a lot of goals. And so there were a lot of people that were kind of making that move. And yeah. I think the selling Isak thing was more about getting Jackson than it was about selling Isak. Whereas if you've held him, obviously you've picked out the points last night, which is great, but also you now have this nice run of fixtures right the way through to game week 19, really, where you could definitely see goals. But even then, 19 and 20, those Man United and Spurs fixtures, they're not defences that you can't break down. So I think if you've got Isak, he becomes a bit of a long-term hold now, as long as he can stay fit.
Yeah, even beyond 19 and 20, actually. He's got Wolves at home in 21, Bournemouth at home in 22. We know what Newcastle are like at home, so they're nice fixtures. Then Southampton away, Fulham at home, before Manchester City in 25, and there's three slightly trickier fixtures. So yeah, Isak for me, for once, I'm glad that I didn't push the panic button, especially as I would have gone for Jackson. That was frustrating, wasn't it, Jules, with Jackson, given the fixture especially?
Yeah, I didn't see this one coming, I won't lie. And not just him, but even if you, I don't know, had Colwill, for example, maybe as a defender, if you had
Sanchez
in goal, for example, although Jorgensen was very good. And now I do wonder if Jorgensen maybe, on the back of his really good game that he had last week in the Conference League against Heidenheim, if now he's going to be the number one, because I thought yesterday on the two saves that he really has to make, he was fantastic. But yeah, so if you, like me, I really didn't see that one coming. And then all I wanted was for Nico not to come on, although everybody seems to score in that game for Chelsea, so maybe he would have got a goal. But yeah, in the end, I was happy, especially if Brennan Johnson returns tonight and takes his place in my team. I would be good, but great from Chelsea going forward, even with subs, if you were like Joao Felix, I thought was really good, and Nkunku was really good. Gusto came back and was really good as well, very efficient. And Cole Palmer, with only one goal, where he could easily on another day have had two assists and three goals. Like, that's how good he was. And yet, in the end, he only has one goal to show for it.
Yeah, I think his XG was something crazy, wasn't it? Really frustrating for us captains. And I couldn't believe it that once he did score, he went off. Yeah, it feels a bit mean, doesn't it, when they've had such a big win against a 10-man struggling team that we only got a goal. But at least we did get that goal. Sam, what are your thoughts on Chelsea overall? For me, when I saw the team, I thought, uh-oh, this is something that all season we've known with the size of their squad is a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Palmer's XG, by the way, was 1.49, which is
that
the most
it.
Of
I knew
any.
I'd seen.
Yeah, the highest in a game week so far. I think we've known that they've got a big squad. We know that they've got the potential to be able to rotate really good players into each position. So it's always a little bit of a risk with Chelsea, but they've been fairly consistent in the league so far. So it hasn't been too much of a concern, but I do think Jules is right with the goalkeeper position. Like, he did play really well last night. So maybe we might see a change up, and it might just be something you have to monitor if you've invested there. I think for me, as a Palmer owner, obviously I was happy for him to get the goal, and I was hoping that he was going to get something more than he did, particularly as in the other game, Salah was doing Salah things again. But I think it does feel like you should be more heavily invested in Chelsea. Like, I've just got Palmer and I keep looking at Chelsea thinking, oh, I should probably get another one. And then it's been hard because a couple of weeks ago, I thought maybe it was going to be Gusto that might be the one that came in for me. And then he's not been consistently starting, although did come back in yesterday and plays well, gets the assist towards the back end of the game. Jackson obviously has been great, but we've talked about the yellow card thing before, and then obviously missed a game through the rotation that we had. So it's quite hard, but the fixtures are nice. Obviously, it's the Spurs game at the weekend, but then after that, Brentford, Everton, Fulham, Ipswich, Palace, Bournemouth, Wolves. Like, that's a really nice run of fixtures for Chelsea, isn't it? So I think I'll be looking to invest more heavily. It's just trying to work out who's the best pick, I think.
Manchester City, then, we do have to talk about them. As we've already discussed, Jules sold Haaland. It means none of us own Haaland now. I still own Rico Lewis. I think I'm the only Lewis owner on this podcast, though, aren't I now?
Yeah.
So between three of us, where we could have nine City players technically between us, we have one, which is unheard of, reflective of the fact that City have won just one of their last eight matches, I guess. But Jules, I watched that last night. And Haaland obviously got the assist, so you missed out on those points.
It's one of those assists, though, no? Isn't it?
Yeah, let's not go there again.
It's just a pass on the halfway line. Anyway,
in terms of FPL, he got an assist. I was frustrated because Rico Lewis was forced to come off the bench, so didn't get the clean sheet points. I was looking at them, though, Jules, thinking there's green shoots of recovery here. Kevin De Bruyne, obviously, was the standout. As if we needed any more premiums to have to throw into the mix, is he now someone that should be on our radar?
It's a difficult one because he said himself after the game that he was just, his body is not ready to play, I think, regularly and a lot. He said he's got pain in his back and that the day he feels better, he will even be even better. But right now, it seems, I think he said himself he was struggling physically and he played 74 minutes, didn't really look like he was struggling physically. And it was amazing. Obviously, scored one, assisted one, and you could just see what he brings to this team. In terms of leadership, but also technically, creativity, just everything. And obviously, if you're playing against City and you have to deal with him on top of everybody else now, it makes a massive difference. Foden was not there. He was ill, a bit like Sam and others. But it's true that De Bruyne brings so much to this team. And we saw that yesterday. Although, as you saw, Kels, even at 1-0 up for City, they gave away a big chance. Yeah, big chances. 1-0 at the start of the second half. So it was not perfect by far, but at least they got a win and they can just breathe a little bit easily.
It's something that I'm aware of though, Sam, because when I look at the Manchester City fixtures, as I'm sure you have as well, from 15 to 22 really, so that takes up to the 19th of January, their fixtures are pretty nice. They've got Manchester United at home in game week 16 and Villa away in 17. They're the trickiest looking ones on paper. So if they are going to find some form, it's probably going to be now, and we're going to want to be invested in some form, aren't we?
Yeah, but how is the problem? Because KDB looked great last night, but if he's saying that he's not able to play consistently, then you can't invest that level of budget. Foden's got bronchitis, so I mean, he will be back, but then he hasn't exactly been playing well. The defence is, I know they kept a clean sheet, but they've been all over the place. They've been consistent.
Gvardiol had two really good chances in the first half.
And I mean, he's more of an attacker than the defender.
I was going to say, I think he perhaps proved the point that if you want any City defender, you're probably not going to get clean sheets at the moment, although he did get one last night. He's got the attacking threats. He's maybe the best of the bunch.
I think so. But I mean, I had him for weeks. And the problem is that at that price point, and it was every week, it was the same thing. Yeah. It was like, okay, well, he's been the most attacking. He's had these opportunities. He should have gotten assists for this. He should have done that. Haaland didn't finish this. Haaland didn't finish that. And the problem is that how long do you keep a player? Because having attacking threat is brilliant. That's exactly what we want from a defender. But in reality, they have to do something with that attacking threat. They have to bring some points. Otherwise, you're spending upwards of 6 million on a player and they're not really performing to that standard. And I think that's the issue for me with Gvardiol is, like, I agree, I think of the City defender, he's the best one. But I'm still not convinced that he's worth 6 million with how they're playing right now defensively. Yeah. I think you, at that price point, you do want sort of the guarantees of some returns, and we're just not really getting that. And I think that's my issue with City generally, is that this is kind of what I was saying to Jules before, is like, you can spend 15 million on Haaland. Absolutely. I get it. And I get why you'd want him. And it's not really about thinking Haaland's a bad pick, because I don't think anybody who sold Haaland in the last few weeks thinks that Haaland is a bad pick. And I think that going into the next few weeks, he will return points. The thing is if you can have both Palmer and Saka in your team instead of him, will they outscore him in combination? And I guess that's the difficulty, is that from City, outside of Haaland, it's actually quite difficult to know where you would go. But equally, with the level of budget Haaland takes right now, with all the other premiums that are coming good, I'm not sure that you can afford to go there. And I mean, I think the fact that there were three players captained this week by over 2 million managers, that's the first time that's ever happened in FPL, that we've had three over 2 million captainers, shows you how divided the game is right now on which premium assets are the right ones to own and whether Haaland should be in your team or not. Because as managers, we're normally far more consistent with the captaincy, and there's normally one who's really highly captained and then one who's sort of in the next bracket down. To have three of them almost identically captained is mad. So,
and the three were Salah, Saka and Palmer?
Yeah. No, sorry. Haaland, Salah and Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So Haaland was the most captained this week, and then Salah and Palmer up there as well. So, and I just think when you think about that as a stat, for that to be the first time that's ever happened, that we've had three, shows you that's people are not sure what to do. And I think with Man City, because there isn't really a standout other option, that's where it becomes difficult. Like, if what you really want is for somebody like Grealish or Doku or Bernardo Silva, whoever it is, somebody to just go, all right, I'm going to be really good over the next few weeks, so that there's somebody that you know is going to start and you can invest in. But we're not seeing that yet. I was hoping we were going to get one of them, but so far we haven't. And it's how far into this run do we have to get before we get a consistent returner that's not going to cost you 15 million, because I can't afford to have Haaland and everyone else.
Yeah, I understand completely. It's tough, isn't it? So at the moment, I think with City, it's a watching brief, but with a bit more interest at the moment because of those fixtures, and knowing at some point we probably want someone like a Grealish or a Foden, just someone to take that. Yeah,
Doku. Any of them.
Yeah, any of them that are not Haaland, are not Haaland's price point, that can kind of take that team and our FPL teams by the scruff of the neck and give us some much needed points. Okay, Manchester United. Then Marcus Rashford was benched. Sam, what are you thinking about Bruno?
I was really torn on Bruno yesterday because obviously I had the double Arsenal defence as well. And so we got part of the way into this game and I was like, oh, right. What do I want to happen? Particularly when he was lining up that free kick towards the back end of the game. And I was like, I don't know what wants to happen here. I'm going to hold Bruno because I think when you look at the fixtures, they are mixed. And I kind of knew that. Like the Everton game at the weekend, that was the last of that really great three. And then obviously we had the Arsenal game where I wasn't expecting a huge amount. But going on from that now, it's Nottingham Forest who have conceded three goals in three of the last four matches and then obviously kept a clean sheet in the other one. So defensively, they are a bit inconsistent at the moment, whereas at the beginning of the season, they were great. After that, it's the derby against Man City. And I find that one difficult to read right now. But then you get this quite nice batch of three fixtures with Bournemouth, Wolves and Newcastle ahead of Liverpool and then Southampton, Brighton, Fulham, Crystal Palace. So I've got two Manchester United players, Bruno, who I don't need the money out of Bruno for anybody else right now. Like, it's not like if I took a million out of him, I could get to Haaland again. I just can't. Like, so he might as well stay. Like, I feel like I've got everybody else that I would need, unless somebody else from Manchester City or anywhere else really starts to consistently be good. Or I decide that I really do want to stay invested in Spurs when I sell Solanke and I want to go to Johnson, then maybe that's the route to do it. But I think I'm just going to hold him. I think he has enough opportunities. He's on set pieces. The fixtures, there's a couple in there that I don't fancy, but the rest of them, I kind of feel like he could get returns in. So I'll hold him.
He needs to play higher up on the pitch. Yesterday was deep. He played in those two, like in the two double pivot and outside of set pieces, which he was good. He obviously the free kick for the De Ligt header. And then the Antony one too, that was a combination. But apart from that, I think he's too far from, especially in a game like yesterday where they just wanted to defend first and not concede instead of attacking. I think he struggles to create anything because he's too far away from where he should be. But probably in those easier games, like you said, Sam, I would expect him to go back to an inside 10 position and then he's far more influential.
Yeah, agree. So definitely worth seeing what Amrim continues to do with that team. A big win for Everton at Goodison Park, struggling to score goals. Even Dominic Calvert-Lewin got an assist. I would have loved those points, but alas, I finally parted company at the weekend. A minus four for Craig Dawson, two own goals. And of course, those four goals conceded too. More importantly, to our FPL teams, another zero-pointer for Eight Nori. Should we be worried, Jules?
Maybe. I mean, they looked better at some point and he was so attacking and his numbers and stats and data was really good. So especially going forward, so I think it made sense to get him. They've got a decent run of fixture. They've got West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester before playing United and Spurs. So at least for the next three, I think we should keep whoever we have from Wolves. They might have a new manager as well. We don't know yet, but it looks like Gary O'Neill is under a lot of pressure, so he might stay and turn things around, and we hope that for him and the club. But if they were to change, there might also be a manager bound somewhere that could benefit the players that we have from Wolves in our teams. So we need to keep an eye on that. They were just nothing when they were yesterday. The own goals, the chances that they missed, Cunha could have scored easily one or two goals. It was just not their night. And watching it, you just feel a little bit for them because it was clearly not their night from very early on, you could tell. And well done to Everton. But for Wolves, I would just keep Eight Nori and Cunha or Trent Larson, whoever you have, a little bit longer. At least give them the next three games to see where they are.
Yeah, I think I agree. Be interesting to see what happens there. At the moment, Liverpool as well. What a game. I mentioned Isak. Forgot to mention the Liverpool side of things, Sam. Mixed, maybe from an FPL point of view, for those that own Trent Alexander-Arnold bench, to come on to get two assists for both of Salah's goals. And I mean, I don't think we need to talk about Mo Salah anymore, do we? Essential now, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is essential. I think the way that he is playing right now, he feels inevitable, doesn't he? Like, I'm watching the Liverpool game yesterday and he's not done anything yet. And then, but I kept saying to Lee, I was like, at some point you just know that he will do something because he's magic. Like, he's got this like ability to just make something out of nothing. Trent comes on, assists him twice. And then he's like, he just looks phenomenal. And I think from an FPL stance, if you don't have him, it must be torturous every week to have him returning the level of points that he does. And as I said at the beginning of this, I think, you know, probably we should just be handing him the armband and saying have it all season the way that he's playing right now. And Trent, I criticised Trent quite a lot this season, and not really because I think he's bad, but just because in FPL he's so expensive and owning him is tough when you're not getting returns. And I think seeing him on the bench last night, I was like, oh, it just kind of rules him out of the conversation again. But then he comes in and he's so good. Like, I know he's been recovering from an injury and maybe they're bringing him back slowly and all of that, but he came on, made such a difference. So heading into the weekend, you would expect him to be back in the starting 11. And I think, you know, this season, he's second for defenders for chances created, even though he's missed a load of games through injury so far. It's only Leif Davis that has been more creative than Trent has. So I think I've only got Salah in my team, and I kind of feel like you need to have more than just Salah.
I was going to say,
now
it doesn't feel enough, does it, Jules?
No.
It feels like we need more Liverpool cover.
Yeah, but then where do you go? Oh, you can go for Virgil, and really they conceded 3 goals yesterday, but they've been very good defensively through the whole season. When Konate comes back, he might be a decent pick, but then the points are in attackers, really, because they create so much and they score so much. If you can't get to Trent, but then where do you go? Because outside of Salah, if you look at all the other attackers, Ruiz Diaz had that incredible start of the season and then just went back to normal. Darwin is Darwin. Then you've got Curtis Jones. Okay, scored yesterday and has had a couple of good games, but sometimes Szoboszlai starts, sometimes Curtis Jones starts, sometimes Jones starts deeper. So you just don't know. McAllister, Gravenberch, yes, you can have them, but they are more defensive-minded players in this system, even if they go forward a lot. So outside of it, it's a bit like the Man City chat that we had earlier. Okay, Salah is a given, but then who do you go after? Trent is very expensive for a defender. So it's just finding the right other guy from Liverpool to bring into your team.
Jota's back soon though, so that might be an option. When
true,
he
but will
back.
Jota take away a little bit of what Salah does? Because it feels to me that all the others are working for Salah. Jota is a finisher. And I think Jota will take a bit of the chances maybe that are created for Salah right now. I'm not sure Jota coming back and starting is really good for us. I might be wrong completely, but it might just take a little bit away of what Salah is good at the moment, which is pretty much everything.
And finally, Jules, have to talk about Arsenal as well.
Saliba!
Right, I'm going to tell you how I found out that both of you had got clean sheets plus goals for your team. I was live presenting the Manchester City game and they said, right, Kelly, next you're going to go to a graphic with the fixtures and results. It was in a VT and I said, oh, can you just check who scored for Arsenal so I can say that? Yeah, don't worry, we'll set in your ear. So I was going, yeah, last night there was 2 games and tonight, and then they went, literally, as I was saying something else, I said, and it finished here 3-0. They went, Timber and Saliba on target. And I wanted to go, you what? Because I was like, I know that Gabriel hasn't started, so he's not got a clean sheet. But both of those jammy so-and-sos are also going to get goals.
Oh, jealousy.
Gabriel is meant to be the defensive goal scorer in that team.
We all know that they're so good from set pieces, aren't they? Like, they're so good from them. It only takes, like, one. And actually, about 2 minutes after the Timber goal, could have done exactly the same thing again. I was like, could have had a brace.
Oh, so I should be relieved.
You should be grateful, to be honest, Kelly.
Very grateful.
Do we need to, I mean, Sam's already done it, Jules. Do we need to jump on the bandwagon and double up on that Arsenal defence?
Yeah, you can. I mean, Raya is an expensive goalkeeper, but he's been obviously very good for most of the season.
I'm considering it. I'm sorry, Flecken. Yeah. I'm considering it.
I know. You should. I mean, even Flecken, I think, is considering himself for his own team. So I think you should. Timber is good because, as we said, he's really good value for money. He's quite cheap compared to Gabriel Saliba, who scored with his bottom, obviously, which makes it even better. But they all count, as he says. But yeah, I think Timber... Raya, you can go with 2 defenders. Sorry, that's what I want to say. Timber and Gabriel and Saliba. Timber and Saliba, for example. The thing with, if you have Raya, if you go with Raya and one of the defenders, Raya is also the point saves, etc. So I would go Raya and a defender more than 2 defenders, but you can go for 2 defenders as well because, as we said, Timber is cheaper than Raya and pretty much all the other starters in the Arsenal the main Arsenal defenders.
I don't think Timber's going to stay cheap for very long, though.
So go for him.
He's already
now
had a price rise this week, hasn't he? He's at 5.6, is it now?
I suspect that we will see that quite a bit, and it won't be that long before he's sort of getting close to the 6 million bracket. Yeah. So if you do want to go and have the double up and go cheaper, then go quicker.
Jules, what about the double Arsenal attack? Would you be tempted? Or is it just Saka, do you think, we just need to have now?
So Saka, yeah, especially now. I mean, I guarantee you, now that I've brought in, him into the team. Yeah, exactly. He's going to just be very good, but average. Not as good as he was before when I didn't have him.
And I'm sorry, but Bukayo Saka doesn't know how to be average.
That's very true. And even yesterday, despite the first half where him and Odegaard were really well marked by this United team that played very well defensively in their own structure and were clearly there to frustrate Arsenal more than anything else, even in the second half, you see that I don't think you can keep them both quiet for much longer than 45 minutes, because after that, they're still too good and the Arsenal structure is too efficient in many ways. And Saka was a little bit unlucky to only get the 3 points, I felt. And same for Odegaard, we can say too. But do you go Saka and Odegaard, Saka and Martinelli, Saka Trossard, Saka Havertz? It's difficult, I think. So I would more go for Saka and maybe double up at the back for Arsenal.
Mm, yeah, you're in agreement. You're nodding along, aren't you, Sandy?
That's what I've got. Yeah, I've got those three.
That's kind of why I asked you, Jules, because I knew you'd already done that. So I was just intrigued as to what Jules thinks as well. Okay, then, like I said, not too much time before game week 15 gets underway. I'm going to be honest. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. I'm struggling to process game week 15. I always find it really hard until I know exactly how my score has finished this week, because so much can happen. We can have injuries or whatever. But let's try and look ahead to it. The next deadline for you is Saturday morning. When you look ahead to that game week, Sam, what are the things and the players and teams maybe that stand out to you?
I mean, Aston Villa were a bit of a surprise to me yesterday. They performed much better than...
Oh, I can't believe I didn't mention Morgan Rodgers.
I know. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
It's the hair.
Yeah, I enjoyed Morgan Rodgers' points yesterday. Thank you very much, Morgan. And I think they stand out, don't they? Because they're coming up against Southampton. They're going to have another suspension this weekend because of the Jack Stevens red card. So,
for pulling hair.
For pulling Kukurea. Yeah, madness. So he will be out for 3 games now. So now... I think going into this one, you've got Rodgers and Watkins. Like, for those players that held Watkins for all this time, you're finally getting a bit of reward out of him. He's finally starting to get that kind of consistency back in his game, it feels like, anyway. And the fixtures are nice for Villa. Obviously, they've got Southampton next. Then it's Forest. Then there's a couple of difficult ones there with Man City and Newcastle. But then after that, Brighton, Leicester, Everton, like there's some really good games in there. And if you can afford to have Ollie Watkins, and I think that's the problem, isn't it? It's if you can afford to have Ollie Watkins, then I think that you would. But Rodgers, I think he just still feels like a gift, doesn't he? So at the price point that he is, I'm going to enjoy owning him for the next few weeks. He can go on the bench in weeks where the fixtures are more difficult, like in 17 against Manchester City. I still don't think you really want a defender from Aston Villa, though, because they're just not defensively keeping those clean sheets yet.
No, it does feel that way, doesn't it? I wonder with Watkins, though, it's tough because there's so many forwards, Sam, that we want. Would you still want Watkins?
He's expensive as well.
And I think, because even like you can go down to Isak, he's cheaper as well. And obviously Jackson's in the conversation. There's loads of them, aren't there? But like because I've got Solanke who's like obviously missed the weekend and I didn't know if I wanted to take a -4 for him. Like it felt a bit ridiculous to take a -4 when I didn't know how ill he was and whether he was going to make it or not. And I had Wood who could just come off the bench if necessary. But I am looking at that Solanke position and thinking it's an opportunity to bring in somebody different. And maybe that's Isak, maybe that's Jackson, maybe it's Watkins to kind of try and exploit those fixtures that he has and double up with Rodgers, because Rodgers is the obvious one, I think, because he's so much cheaper, but Watkins feels nice to have as well.
Jules, what else stands out to you for game week 15 when you look at those
fixtures? I think the Spurs-Chelsea game on Sunday afternoon, I don't know if Sam, if you're going, but just if you're a neutral, this is the game to watch this weekend because it's going to be so open. It could easily finish 3-3, 4-4. I think there's a lot of goals in it, especially if you have attacking players from both those teams in your FPL team. If you have Johnson or Solanke, if he plays, or even a Kulusevski, who I think is going to come back into the team, Son or Jackson, Palmer, Madueke, whoever you have from Chelsea point of view as well, then you know exactly what's going to happen in that game. So I think it's going to be fantastic to finish the weekend with that game.
Yeah, it will be good. It's a tough one from an FPL point of view, that's for sure. I'm really intrigued though to see, and this is why I think I'm struggling with talking about Saturday as well, the game week ahead, sorry, the whole weekend as well, because we haven't seen the likes of Bournemouth tonight. We haven't seen what Spurs are going to do because I look at Bournemouth travelling to Ipswich today. Bournemouth had returns at the weekend as well. That fixture stands out to me too. And yeah, there's quite a few interesting ones. Manchester United against Nottingham Forest. Sam, what are you going to do with Chris Wood?
Good question. He's currently on the bench because he's in that rotation. If you remember when I bought him, I said I was buying him because he was rotates nice with Rodgers. So obviously it's his week to sit on the bench because Rodgers, I want to play in that nice game that he's got against Southampton. So I might actually sell Chris Wood this week, or I might just leave him on the bench, or it's so hard to know what to do with him. I'm kind of torn because obviously I've also got Dalot. I'm probably going to bench him. I might sell him.
What would you do, Jules?
I don't know. We've said it from the beginning. It was great until it lasted for Forest. Sorry, they were great. They were third at some points. We've praised Nuno and we praised Wood. We talked about his XG and his goal and that he was literally walking on water. But we also said at some point this is going to stop. And I'm sure he's going to score a few more goals between now and the end of the season. But Wolves have gone back to being, Forest. I've gone back to be a bit more Foresty, if you want, which is fine. They were never going to stay third anyway. So they did a great job at the start of the season. And now I think it starts to be a bit more difficult for Woods, for others, even if they created chances, as we said, at City yesterday. Defensively, you could see they don't have the same impact that they used to. So I think it's a little bit tricky. I would sell Chris Wood right now. I think it's probably the right time.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that owned him were kind of talking about selling him before the Manchester City game, weren't they? And then a few people were saying, well, Man City aren't so great defensively. He did have that glorious chance, which arguably could have changed the game completely, I think, had he scored it. So yeah, I imagine we'll see a lot more sellers for him, particularly while other forwards do well. And the Merseyside derby is going to be quite an interesting one, Sam, isn't it? Because Liverpool obviously been imperious, only lost once this season, but did concede three at St James's Park. And Everton might have got a bit of a glimmer of confidence too.
Well, I think they will. I don't think it necessarily matters who that win comes against. To get a big win like that makes a massive difference, particularly in front of the Everton fans who have long suffered so far this season. And they'll go into the game at the weekend. They've got a couple of derbies, obviously the Spurs one and then the Merseyside one. And I think Liverpool win the game, but I don't necessarily think that we should. I don't think it'll be as easy.
We're going to catch some Mo Salah though, aren't we?
Lunchtime kickoff, Kelly, are we?
Oh, you know what Sam thinks about.
I hate the lunchtime kickoff.
But we've also discussed, you mentioned him as a potential perma-captain earlier.
I know.
And the fact that we've
missed out on like 35 points in the last two game week because I didn't captain Mo Salah. Surely exactly. I can't be that stupid again.
Oh, but I don't know, the way Jules. You're talking suggests to me that maybe you're going to be.
No, I have to captain Salah. It's literally killing me. One of my children, because you know we have a secret chip coming up at some point from the game,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And one of my kids said last night, what if that chip was that you only choose your captain once the game week is finished? So this is a treat on you. And then you don't pick it before the game week starts, but at the end, so you can pick anybody you want, obviously the one with the highest point in your team. I was like, this is perfect. Then I will solve all our captain issues. And then we can wait to see who has the most point, Mo Salah, and then captain him.
I mean, I don't have a clue what the mystery chip is, but that feels a bit too generous. And for now, Jules, you do definitely have to pick your captain before the game
Salah.
Week. But surely, Sam, will you really be put off just by being the 12:30 fixture? Who else will you captain?
I will be put off by being the captain. I know I will. Like, I hate it. Kelly, honestly, you've never had to deal with me on a Saturday when I've captained somebody in the lunchtime kickoff. I am not nice. Like, I'm not nice to be around, genuinely. It really stresses me out. It ruins my whole weekend. And I've got to wait till I've got Spurs in last. This whole weekend could turn to absolute mud. I got Saka against Fulham, could go there. I've got Bruno against Nottingham Forest, I could go there. I want to go Salah.
Captain Palmer against Spurs, surely that's a given.
Jules.
Surely. And you'd be there as well, watching him score a hat trick.
No, I'm not going this time because Jules, do you remember the last time I went and watched Chelsea at Spurs?
You jinxed them.
Well, everyone got injured or sent off. Do you remember? It was that game last season.
Yeah, that.
It ruined our season. Yeah. Van der Ven and Madison got injured and were out forever. Romero and Udogi got sent off. It was horrendous. No, I've got Christmas activities planned for the weekend, so I can't go to this one. Quite relieved about it. I don't know. I think there are other captaincy options. I guess that's what I'm saying. I think Salah, I don't know how we've ended up talking about captaincy right now, but.
Because I think that's the main talking point from that, because Everton, Liverpool. Yes, it's the early kickoff, but Mo Salah surely is the best player in the game. It's the standout captaincy. There's no debate over whether we play him.
No.
Not many of us are own Everton players.
No.
I mean, I've got Mikalenko and I'm not going to be starting him because why would you start an Everton defender against Liverpool and Mo Salah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the conversation really with that fixture is, do we captain him?
And I think for most sensible human beings, the answer
people,
is yes.
Yeah, for
right,
normal people.
Sam, the more you go on about this, the credibility of this podcast is going at this. We've got one member of our team who's got this, not weird because he's Parisian, but is obsessed with Paris-born players and his friends. Now you're basically saying you don't make sensible. You're meant to be the expert around here, Sam. You can't be saying you won't captain the best player in the game because of the time of his fixture.
That, when you say it like that, it does sound ridiculous.
It is. I'm sorry. I'm calling you out on this. It is. And the listeners are going to agree with me. If you agree, let us know.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Don't put it in our rating. That'll affect our rating. Just let us on social media.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see what I decide to do. I've got other options. I think that's what I'm saying. At the moment, my bus team captain is not on Salah.
Who is it then?
It's on Saka.
Weekend is going to be so... Salah scores a hat-trick early on Saturday and then your whole weekend is amazing.
The only thing I would say is last week when I captained Salah instead of Saka, I got that wrong. So, yeah, I don't think it's that bad a decision. We're running out of time here. Won't surprise you. And
no,
so we're going to move on quickly through. I'm just going to do a word on the suspensions because, as Sam mentioned, Jack Stevens of Southampton got a straight red. That means he'll get a 3-game ban. McAllister is suspended after picking up his 5th yellow card. Bentancur Kenny, of course, also remains suspended. Jackson is 1 yellow card still away from that suspension. Maybe he'll play at the weekend. Who knows? We were going to do a long view check-in, but we actually don't have time for that now. We'll do that in the next podcast. Instead, we're going to talk about differential of the week. And Jules, I thought of you when I saw that Enzo had got an assist. Has he got an assist? Who was your differential last
I'm on
week?
A, roll.
A much needed point. I don't think you're on a roll because neither of you got anything.
I won 2 in a row. So
no, he did.
That's
he
a
got
roll.
One last week. He had a
yes, thank
last
you
week.
Very much.
Oh, yeah, he did actually. I'll let you off. but hold on. Doesn't it go against your point of picking like top players? You picked a Chelsea player, no?
No, but it's because Sam picked like Enzo, Bruno Fernandes, and who did you have? Phil Foden. I mean, like,
yeah,
come on.
Just differentials.
Just PFA players of the year, you know?
Okay, right, let's not go down this route. Jules went for Enzo, he got 5 points with an assist. Sam went for Buonanotte, got 3 points, went off before the clean sheet went, so that was very unfortunate. Jules, who are you going with this week?
I've chosen Mitoma from Brighton because I watched him in the last game where he against Southampton. Okay, there was a draw, but he was very, very good. He scored. He's returned back-to-back games now. He created five or six chances over the two games, and he's owned by 8.5% of the game, and he will cost you 6.5 million. He might still not be the Mitoma I remember of 2 seasons ago, where he was literally the best player in the world and kept returning for us. But he feels like he's on his way back to being very, very good. So I wouldn't be surprised if against Leicester, they play Leicester at the weekend, if we've got another good Mitoma. But again, he plays tonight. So if something happens to him tonight, I don't know what that means for a differential, but that wouldn't be my fault. No, I'm just saying, it's my insurance.
Just a quick word, actually, before we get Sam's differential. What did you make of Leicester under Ruud van Nistelrooy? That, to me, was a bit of a bizarre game, Jules, because West Ham certainly had chances, didn't they? And Leicester, well, afforded them those chances.
Yeah, and I think this typically the kind of game, if you just look at the result, you think, oh, Leicester, 3-1 win. But if you look at the game itself and all the stats, it was very much a game dominated by West Ham, who I still don't know how they didn't score more than one goal. Which increases a lot of pressure on Lopetegui, of course, the manager on the bench, but also showed that there is something within this West Ham team for sure. And Leicester maybe got a little bit lucky for Van Nistelrooy's debut, but they took the chances really, really well. So I think this is probably what we will see a bit from Leicester. I expect them to be quite efficient, certainly going forward.
Yeah, maybe looking at them going forwards from an FPL point of view, but maybe not defensively at the moment. Sam, your differential then?
So I wanted to go for Evan Nilsson, but then I didn't because I'm worried about him getting injured tonight. So you're brave picking a Brighton player, given they've not played yet. Then I thought, oh, I'll go Jarrod Bowen. And then I thought, no, Jules will moan.
You've picked him already. I guarantee this is the second time.
No,
you can't do that.
No,
oh my God.
And that's why I didn't, because I knew you'd do that. So in the end, I've gone for Diallo. And I think... I quite like the Manchester United fixture. I like where he's playing for them. He's only owned by 5.7% of the game. He's not going to break the bank. Jules likes to moan at me for picking two expensive players. So he's only going to cost 5 million. So that feels nice. He's top for goal attempts at United in the last 4 game weeks with 8. Only Bruno has more attacking returns in that period with 5. He's got 4. He's also created 6 chances again. Only Bruno has more. And 3 of those has been big chances, which is the most across that Manchester United team. Faces a Forest side who, as I mentioned earlier in the pod, are really up and down defensively at the moment. So in 3 of the last four. They've conceded three goals. So I suspect that there's goals in that game for United, and he seems to be part of that right now. So he's a nice cheap route in as well if you can't afford the likes of Bruno.
Okay, well, a check-in for you then on the standings so far. The points are Sam is on 75, Jules is on 57, so still lagging behind.
It's okay, I'm catching up.
Yeah, slowly but surely wins the
but
race.
I'm going to pick Maradona and Pelé and Beckenbauer next week. So
they won't get you any points though, Jules.
Moving on to transfers, because we've already done captaincy. I think myself and Jules are going to be going for Salah. Sam is going to be spooked into going for Saka. Transfers, not a chance. Julian Laurent will have done his transfers. So have you thought?
No,
of
I'm good with this team. I played like a mini wild card with four transfers.
I was going to say, you made about 47 transfers.
Exactly. This is very good, thank you.
Also, how much did you enjoy that, by the way? Because I did three transfers last week and it felt really quite like revitalizing.
I think having too many, my brain was literally like, was going to overheat. It was like, why am I doing? I did so many. I probably put myself into Sam's brains because I expect that's what she does a lot. I had like a million draft of what I could do with those four transfers, moving defenders and midfielders.
George,
and
you didn't
attackers.
Have to use them all.
No, I know, but like it felt like I thought. And you said that on the show Monday. Oh, this is amazing! So you kind of picked me up.
For you.
So I felt I had to use them all.
We're getting the blame for that.
We get the blame for everything,
exactly.
Kelly. Whatever happens,
you know me by now.
You
exactly.
get the blame for everything in my team as well, because normally it is your fault. That's the difference. Literally no response from both of you there because you've accepted Cole Palmer. Sam, so Jules isn't doing anything. Sam, what are you doing?
So I'm either going to be really, really boring and roll it, or because I quite like my team for the weekend, or the transfer I wanted to make before Jules made four this week was to go from Chris Wood to Evan Nilsson. But obviously I want to wait and see what happens in the Spurs-Bournemouth game tonight, make sure he comes through that, because I do really like the Bournemouth fixtures moving forward. And I think having somebody from there makes a lot of sense, and I don't want to sell Morgan Rogers, so Semenyo is basically out, so that would mean investing in the forward line for him. So I might do that, I might do nothing and then hold some money and do Jackson or Isak the week after, but right now I'm a bit undecided. Chris Wood, if anyone goes, it'll be Chris Wood for probably Evan Nilsson.
Yeah, well, interesting you said that, because I mentioned the Bournemouth fixture before, and the reason I'm struggling to look ahead is because my transfer is probably going to be Bournemouth related. I think I might do Mbeumo to Semenyo, because then I've got a bit of money in the bank and I can upgrade to get a Liverpool defender or go to Arsenal double up, trying to shift those kind of funds between positions in the team. Always good fun. Also, my team value is awful, so that's what you need to do. But yeah, we'll be watching that game with added interest between Bournemouth and Spurs tonight. A reminder, that game is to come alongside Fulham versus it's Brighton, isn't it? Yeah, Fulham versus Brighton. All these games just merge into one at this point, don't they? That's where we'll leave everything. Jules, Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where are you at the weekend?
I am nowhere on Saturday and in Manchester on Sunday.
Oh, nice easy weekend for you. Normally at 47 games. Sam?
No, I've got a million and one different Christmas activities with the kids this weekend. So yeah, I'm at Sky actually on Saturday morning, doing the Sky Sports News show on Saturday morning. And then after that, taking the kids to some concerts and doing all sorts of Christmassy things.
Oh,
so
lovely.
We're going to have a great weekend. And hopefully Spurs are going to finish it with a nice win on Sunday afternoon, because I won't be there to ruin it, as Jules always tells me when I go to the game.
Well, we will find out very shortly, won't we? A reminder, your deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturday. It's 90 minutes ahead of the early fixture, which we know Sam is dreading. What is it, Sam?
It's the Merseyside derby.
It is. A lot of people will be captaining Mo Salah. Sam Bonfield won't. Gianni and Praz will be back with Off the Bench on Tuesday, and we'll also be back on Thursday to look ahead to Game Week 16. I'll be back on the Fantasy Show this Friday once again. Oh, it's Gianni with me, actually, so double hit of Gianni. Hopefully you like him, because he's going to be with you on your TV on Friday and in your ears on Monday. Do leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to us. And thanks, as always, for all of the interaction we get on social media. This week in particular, it's been really great to hear from so many of you. Thanks, guys. Bye.